It's good to be back. Some of you probably wouldn't even have known that I was away. Friday, got a message from my daughter Ruth in Bolivia that the mother of one of the brothers there had died. And I really felt I should go back for the funeral. So I booked a ticket as quickly as I could and Friday night I was dropped off at the airport, tried to sleep. The plane was supposed to leave at I think 6:15 or something like that. Couldn't sleep in those chairs. Got to Bolivia Saturday night. Sent a message to Ruth that I was there, expecting that she would be asleep. And got a message back saying, or asking if I would be willing to preach at the graveside on Sunday. I was exhausted from traveling, but Sunday morning I felt the Lord gave me a message. And then flying from Santa Cruz to Tarija, I was supposed to get into Tarija at 1:15, I think. The funeral was to start at 3. I would have an hour and a half drive to get to the funeral, and my plane didn't get in until 3:45, because that was delayed. I figured I would be a basket case, for those of you who know how easily I cry. Even at funerals of people I don't know, when I see other people crying, I start crying. Even if it's strangers that I don't know, I see crying. And of course, when I got to the funeral, it was late. Things were just wrapping up, and I started crying as soon as I saw brethren. And coming back, what was supposed to have been a 22-hour flight with waiting in transit ended up being 29 hours. So I'm still pretty exhausted. I got back Friday at 6, about 6 p.m. So may the Lord truly strengthen me today. You turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. By the way, I do know that last Sunday Annabelle told me that a brother here prayed for me. Thank you, brother. It was sorely needed. Romans 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that is with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. Our old man was crucified with him, that is with Christ, or is crucified. And the end of the verse, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And I don't know how it is with you, but for me it has been difficult just grasping the concept here. What does it mean? First of all, what is my old man? And what does it mean for my old man to be crucified with Christ? Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22, that ye put off, concerning the former conversation, or the former, your previous manner of life, the old man. Okay, that he put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24, and that he put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So in Romans 6 we had that our old man is crucified with him, with Christ, and now we have put off the old man and put on the new man. And for me that was even more confusing because I have an old man that is crucified and I'm told to put off the old man, and that word put off, it's like putting off clothing and putting on clothing. It's the same word that you would use. Put off the old man and put on the new man. Colossians chapter 3. It was said a little while ago about women wondering what men think about, and men thinking about nothing often. I wish I could say that of myself. I wake up in the morning and my mind gets going and it can't stop. It's hard to stop. So I have all these points in my mind that I try to connect. Colossians 3 verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So in Romans, our old man is crucified with Christ. In Ephesians, we're told to put off the old man and to put on the new man. And then in Colossians, we're told that you have put off the old man and you have put on the new man. I hope you see the confusion. And it's not just me. I'm trying to connect these points in my mind. Okay. Well, I hope I'm not going to leave you more confused at the end. First of all, what is the old man? And it's strange that Paul talks about putting off and putting on like you would clothing, but you're not putting on clothing. You're putting on a person. And you're not putting off clothing. You're putting off a person. An old man and a new man. And I think the reason for that is clothing is superficial. Right? I remember just, I don't know, maybe a week or so ago, seeing a video of a man in court. I knew the story. I don't think at the time I quite had connected what was happening in court with the story, but it became apparent pretty soon. But this man was very nicely dressed, his hair cut short and neat, a very short, well-kept beard. He looked like a very honorable, decent man. And as the commentary was going on, I realized who this was. And I had seen a picture of him before. His son had committed a horrible crime using a firearm. And he and his wife were being charged because the firearm and ammunition were kept in a very unsafe way. And so although the child was relatively young, the parents were being held accountable. And the picture I had seen of the man, his hair was unkempt, his beard was scraggly, his clothing looked dirty, and he looked just like you'd expect a bum to look. He and his wife both. See, he had put on different clothing, but it was the same man inside. It's not just putting on a show. It's not just putting on certain outward behaviors that Paul is calling us to, although that certainly is a part of it. But there's a new person and an old person. And I hope this doesn't confuse you. The way I would attempt to try to connect this is, think of the old person as, this is not a great picture, but it's been helpful to me. Think of the old person as an operating system. An operating system for a computer, like Windows would be an operating system, or an operating system for a smartphone. Okay, iOS is the name of the operating system, iOS, for the iPhone, and then phones like Samsung would be, the operating system would be Android. And the phone doesn't work without an operating system. But think of the operating system as having, with a smartphone, let's just imagine we were a few years ahead and now it has artificial intelligence, except our intelligence isn't artificial intelligence. It's real intelligence, and we can, just as artificial intelligence, computers can learn. Right? They don't have to be programmed with this information. They can learn. They can learn to identify a dog, for instance, and far more complex things. Some people think they can learn to know what you are like better than you can know yourself. Say if you're reading an e-book, like with a Kindle, your book is actually reading you. How much time you spend reading, do you finish the book or not? And it's recording all of this information to know what you're like so they can sell you more books. What books are you interested in? What books do you finish? What books do you find boring? What books do you not finish? Okay. So think of the old man as an operating system. It's what makes you run. It's the person that you are inside. And you're prone to learning things. Except the old man is prone to learn to sin. The old man is drawn to sin. The old man is drawn to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The old man is drawn to youthful lusts. And the new man is very different. Would you go back to Ephesians 4? And what I am going to suggest to you, brethren, in trying to put these things together, it is as if we have the two operating systems running in parallel in our lives, even as Christians. I don't know if there's anyone here who would say, I never feel drawn to the old ways, ever. I never feel attracted to the old things, ever. And equally, if you're born again, I am sure you would say, there is a huge part of me that's just drawn to God. Hopefully you'd say, I'm here this morning because I want to be. I'm not talking about the children now. I would hope the children also want to be, even though they have to be. And I would hope you want to be here to learn about God, to draw close to God. I would hope when we wake up in the morning, our desire is to spend time with God, in fellowship with Him. That it's not, well, I've got a duty to do. I've got, God, you got 15 minutes. 15 minutes over, okay, time to go. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. That's something that the new man, the new operating system, wants to do. We want to walk worthy of Christ's calling in our lives. We want to be good representatives of Him. With all lowliness and meekness, this is what the new man is like. Yet Paul has to exhort it. Right? Exhort the believers to live like this, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. John Enns was reading, I would say, a similar passage from Hebrews 12. But this is the heart of the new man, forbearing one another in love. There are times when Christians need to put up with one another. We have different ways of doing things. And sometimes it can be a challenge, especially when we come from different cultures. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Right? Following peace with all men, I think, was the verse that John Enns referred to. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's not something that you've got the new operating system doing that and you have the old operating system doing nothing. The old operating system at times is going to feel resentment. Right? And we've got to put that off. We've got to silence that. Well, I keep reading. Verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. He is really the operating system for the Christian, or provides that operating system. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. Speaking about gifts of the ministry, I do believe. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Not all, he gave some. He gave people who would provide the intelligence, let's put it that way, that the church needs, that you and I need, for the perfecting of the saints. You see, our operating system is a system that learns, right? And God's intention is he provides people in the church to perfect the saints, which tells me that we're not perfect in this sense. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We're here this morning, God seeking to perfect us for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, the building up of the church. We all have a work of ministry here, every one of us. And it's a learning process that we're going through. Verse 13, the goal, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And as long as we're a church where people are continuing to be converted and continuing to be added to the church, we're not going to be perfect. We're going to have people coming in that are coming in with baggage, that are coming in with a lot of the old operating system in function, and they're going to be in a learning process as well, and they just like us are going to make mistakes. But the direction in which we're moving is that of a perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I certainly can't say that I am there yet, trusting I'm moving in that direction. Verse 4, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And that is certainly the risk. As we first come into Christ, that we really don't have a firm doctrinal foundation, we need to keep learning. But, verse 15. Now here's, we could call this an app in our operating system, but speaking the truth in love. You have a truth-speaking app in the new operating system. The new man wants to speak the truth in love, wants to follow the truth in love. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in him that is in Christ in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16. From whom? From Christ. The whole body fitly joined together, the whole body joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Everyone here who is a believer is supplying something to the body. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. The effectual working. So if we're not working effectually, the body is hindered. If we're working effectually, the body is helped. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The building up of itself. The body is building itself up in love. Love being, you could say, the fertilizer of the church. The growth hormone of the church, right? When there is a lack of love, there is a lack of growth. Just like, you know, I have some Scotch bonnet pepper plants, it's my favorite pepper, that are starting to grow. And I know that later on, if they don't get some fertilizer, the leaves are going to start to turn purple. They're going to be deficient. And I'd have to add certain nutrients. It's the same with us. And the main thing that causes us to grow is love. Love for one another. And a word that John used was the word bitterness. That came up. Bitterness defiles many. And I've seen it in Bolivia. I think the church, I think maybe when we started it was about 20 years ago. 20 people in fellowship maybe. Now it's 8. And the main reason? Bitterness. Verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Now we're talking again about the old operating system. Don't walk that way, the way other Gentiles walk. They're walking using that old man operating system in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, no sensitivity to God, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. And brethren, that is where the old operating system will take us. And parents, I really, my desire is that we would all grasp this. Your unconverted child does not have a new man. The rod cannot drive the new man into him or her. Being nice cannot provide him or her with the new man. Having devotions will not produce the new man in your child. The only way that'll happen is with a new birth and a new life that comes from God. Your child can dress properly. I hope you won't take this the wrong way. Your child can get baptized. Your child can wear the biggest veil in church and still only be operating under the old operating system, the old man. But let me also say this. You have a child that professes to come to Christ, and you see some of that old man in him or her. Don't be quick to say they never got born again. They never got saved. How is it with you? Is it all the new man? But it's supposed to be crucified. Yeah. Objectively, yes. But in our subjective experience, still very much there. And the exhortation is, put it off. Put it off. The scripture exhorts us, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. I needed to be in Entre Rios at 3 o'clock so that I could preach at the graveside of the mother of a member of the church. I go to the airport in Santa Cruz, the plane is delayed. Time is passing. I'm flying from Santa Cruz to Cochabamba, Cochabamba to Tarija, and as time is passing, I see I'm likely to miss my flight from Cochabamba to Tarija. I go to one of the workers at the airport and ask about that, and they say, "Oh, don't worry, it's not it'll be fine." Get to Cochabamba, they say, "Those of you that are connecting to Tarija, don't get off the plane. We're just going to let everyone off, and then we're going to have people come on, and we're going to fly." We wait about 20 minutes. They say, "Those of you that are going to Tarija, you need to deboard. You need to get off the plane." And then we had to go and wait for another plane. And on the flight to Tarija, my old operating system is starting to kick in. And the new operating system is saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. And so I started to say, you old man, I'm putting you off. You new man, I'm putting you on. And so I was rejoicing, and I was sitting beside someone who was to my right at the window seat. My The left seat was empty. The right seat, the fellow had his earbuds plugged in. And I thought, well, maybe I should just be more comfortable and take the empty seat. And then I thought, no, I'm rejoicing. Maybe God wants me here to be beside this person so I can talk to him. And he was one that came on late. And I look over, and it looked to me like he was looking at pornography on his cell phone. But when I looked over, he quickly started scrolling. And as he was scrolling, I'm seeing pictures with crosses and looked like Christian hymns and stuff like that. So I said to him, are you a Christian? Because I kind of wanted to prick his conscience if it was pornography. Because I knew when I saw him scrolling quickly, if it was pornography, he knew he shouldn't be doing that. And he said, yes. And I said, de veras? Really? And he said, well, no. And then he said, well, I have questions. I'm Catholic, but I have questions. So I said, what kind of questions? Well, do I have to go to Mass every Sunday? Do I have to confess to my priest? Do I even have to go to church? And so we had a conversation from there till we landed. And I was able to give him a book that I had in Spanish, which he said he would read, about Jim Elliot, okay, a Christian martyr. But that would have never happened if I had only allowed the old man operating system, you know, to here I am worried to kick in rather than the new. Verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. See, we are all in a learning mode. We all have a type of, except it's not artificial, we all have a type of artificial intelligence. And we're learning Christ. We're learning to respond in a Christ-like way. Even when we're going to be late to something that's very important. Verse 21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Jesus wants to teach us. This morning, Jesus wants to teach us. Right? Verse 22. Which we had before, that he put off concerning the former conversation, your former way of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. That old man, it just has, it's like there's a virus in the operating system. And it has this propensity, this desire, this drive. And so parents, the best you can do is to try to protect your children from going deeper and deeper and deeper into the dark depths of that operating system. The dark depths of that old man. That's the best you can do. Shield your children, protect your children from the things that will damage them, that will enslave them. Listen, you will never become an alcoholic if you never take a drink. You will never become a drug addict if you never take drugs. But the more you drink, the more likely you are to become an alcoholic. The more you do drugs, and some people it's only once, that would be their testimony, they become an addict. Protect your children from the things that you can protect them from. But understand that's the best you can do. The new operating system, the new man, only comes from God, only comes from the new birth. And if you try to make your unconverted children into Christians, you may only serve to drive them away. How can someone who doesn't have a new nature love God? How can someone who doesn't have a new nature be passionate about the things of God? The power of salvation is the gospel. That's what they need to know. We can, and I'm not saying we shouldn't discipline our children. Believe me, we should. But understand, your child is disobedient because they cannot be perfect with just the old man. The law was weak because of the flesh, and your law is going to be weak because of your child's flesh. But the law served to draw us to Christ. Right? The man who sat there, think of it. Think of the prostitute. Think of the adulterer. There is no sacrifice under the law for an adulterer. There is no sacrifice under the law for a prostitute. Why do you think they went running to John the Baptist and Jesus? There was no hope for them under the law. And so when good news came, they welcomed it. What is it like? You know, some of your, I know, are still praying for Nora in Bolivia. Nora is still the same. She came. We had a Tuesday night meeting. Again, that was something that I wasn't expecting. But Monday night, the son of this woman who died asked Stephen if we could have a Tuesday night meeting, and I would preach at the Tuesday night meeting. I'm so tired and emotionally drained. But Nora was there. Tears in her eyes, but she is convinced her father sold her soul to the devil to get his demonic powers. What's it like to be like her? I can't be saved. In her mind, she believes lies. In her mind, I can't be saved because I'm sold to the devil. I can't imagine it. And yet she comes more faithfully to the meetings than most of the brethren. Please keep praying for her. Put off that old way of behaving, that old way of thinking, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed. It's something that you actively have to pursue. Something that you actually have to allow and put on the new man. Allow the new man to function, that new operating system to function, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So again, parents, recognize when your children make a profession of faith. I realize that at times there are empty professions. But the transitioning from the old to the new, again, share an experience that happened here years ago. I was outside with a brother, two brothers, neither of them are here. And one brother was sharing how, you know, when I came to Christ, I stopped this immediately, and I think anyone who does this is not a Christian. And then he left. And I said to the other brother that was there, I said, wow, I didn't get that all when I got saved. And he said, neither did I. You have a child that sometimes is resentful about having to wash dishes. Sometimes I'm resentful about having to wash dishes. When the new operating system is in function, when I allow it, I will sing, I will rejoice, even if I'm tired. Lord, I'm doing this for you, and I'm happy to do it. But if I come in and I'm under the old man, and I'm thinking, it's 10 o'clock at night, and the breakfast dishes are still unwashed. And I've got to wash breakfast and lunch and dinner. I don't respond well inside. Right? But if the new man is there, thank you, Lord. I'll rejoice in this. So when you see your children having a bit of that old man still there, don't write them off. Don't condemn them. You know, in Belize, maybe I shouldn't have said where this was. Anyway, I've said it. In Belize, there was a young lady that asked me if she could speak to me in private. And I said, only if it's okay with your dad. And her dad said, only if he was there. So we met. She asked some questions. It was obvious to me, and I think it was obvious to the dad, she wasn't getting to what she wanted to really talk to me about. And then her dad maybe made the mistake of asking her if there was anything else. Her voice was very low, very soft, very gentle, very respectful. At the end of the conversation, I said to her dad, did you find her disrespectful in any way? The father said no. But he was in tears. She said, Dad, why can't we make ourselves of no reputation like Jesus did? Why are you one thing in front of the Christians and another thing at home? Why do you constantly tell me I'm not a Christian? And he said, when did I ever tell you you're not a Christian? She said, anytime there's trouble, you say I should never have been baptized. What does that mean? Don't be quick to write your children off just because you see some of the old man there. She confessed she had planned to do something very disastrous to herself and to her younger siblings because of how horrible things were at home. Verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying. Lying, that's the old operating system. Live according to the new one. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Verse 26. Be angry and sin not. Don't sin in your anger. Anger, old operating system. Old man, holding on to that anger till it becomes bitterness, holding on to that anger so that things leave our mouths that we can't pull back, words leave our mouths. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. New operating system. Let's deal with it in love. Let's talk this out in love, patiently with one another. Neither give place to the devil. Verse 27. And I would suggest to you that when we allow anger to go unchecked in our lives, when we don't deal with it, when we allow the sun to go down on our anger, we're giving place to the devil. And the new operating system, I don't want to give place to the devil. I don't want to give him so much as a toenail hold, let alone a toe hold in my life. Anger of brethren against brethren, bitterness, brethren towards brethren, gives the devil a place in the church. Unforgiveness gives the devil a place. Verse 28, let him that stole. Now, I don't think even under the old operating system everyone would steal necessarily, but let him that stole steal no more. The new operating system, you don't steal. In fact, there's something much better than that. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Instead of stealing, now I want to be a blessing to others. I want to be able to provide for people's needs. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. No corrupt communication. Old operating system, so often the things that leave our mouths are damaging, are destroying. Again, like the father I mentioned, you should never have been baptized. Over and over and over again. But that which is good to the use of edifying. The new operating system. I don't want to pull people down. I want to lift people up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I want to bring people into the favor of God. I want to help people along in their journey. And sometimes, yes, that does mean we have to say hard things. At times it does mean that. Verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, sometimes, and it seems to be happening more and more and more now, I will listen to whether it's a podcast or some news analysis, and the way people speak, the language they use, the way they talk about prime ministers and presidents, and I'm, shall I just say, not a fan of certain politicians, but the way that they speak, it's a grievance to the Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. In the new system, I want to please God. Old system, I don't care. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. 31, let all bitterness, not just some, not just most, all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Those things come from the old operating system. Put them away. Instead, do verse 32. And be ye kind one to another. Be kind. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Putting on the new man is a choice. It's not something that God forces on us. He provides it. He provides it, but it's a choice. I could choose to sit in the plane and be bitter, be upset, or I could choose to sit in the plane and give thanks to God. When would I be happier? When would I be happier? Rejoicing in God? Or bottling up or even letting it flow out like one other passenger did? You know? Misery loves company, right? Brethren, yes, objectively, the old man is crucified. Yes, objectively, and I think from our hearts, repentance when we were saved, our intention was, and our action was, putting it off. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. But the reality is, we still need to make the choices. Am I going to follow Jesus today? Am I going to allow the Holy Spirit to reign in my life to produce fruit today? Or am I going to go after the flesh? I want to end. I'm not sure why I have these two verses marked down, but I'm going to turn to them and then I'll just end. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. From verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. It's coming unexpectedly. We get a little more about that later. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child. And they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. It's coming as a thief in the night, but not for the people of God. And I'm going to say not for the people of God who are operating, living according to the new man. Ye are all the children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. We live in a different realm. We operate in a different realm, not the way things used to be in darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And I would just exhort us as we are closer and closer to the coming of Christ each day, to not fall asleep. I really believe the spiritual warfare in North America is different from Bolivia. many things are similar, but it seems to me that there's a stronger push here to fall asleep spiritually, to be comfortable coming to meetings, listening to messages, and going home and being distracted with other things. There's a young man, I think he's been in Bolivia 3 times while I've been there, and he says, I do better when I'm in South America than when I'm at home, better spiritually, because he knows he's in a battle in Bolivia. He doesn't realize the extent of the battle when he's at home. But let us, verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on, like clothing, the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. I'm not going to get into those, but faith, love, and hope. Let these things dominate in your life. Faith in God, trust in God, confidence in his love, in his power, and I'm going to say his almighty power, his wisdom, his sovereignty, and I do not mean sovereignty that God dictates every little thing that happens, but that God is in control. And when God wants something to happen, it will happen. And when he doesn't want something to happen, it will not happen. By that I mean when he dictates that something will happen, it will happen. When he dictates something won't happen, it won't happen. Okay? Hope of salvation. Keep your eyes fixed on the things that are ahead of us, that are invisible, the things of eternity, the things that are heavenly. Be sober, don't be distracted. It is so easy to get caught up in just making a living, homeschooling. And homeschooling is a good work. God bless you all that do that. But to so get engrossed in these things that we lose sight of God and our connection to him. And let me just say, husbands, if your wives are incredibly busy, too busy, that they don't have time for their own relationship with God, they don't have time to sit down and read their Bibles, they don't have time to pray, they don't have time to fellowship with him, you need to do something to lighten your wife's load. It's important. Okay? And the last passage I want to look at is in Ephesians 6. And again, I'm going to be very quick here. I know why I have this one written down. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I'm going to read that a little differently, because think about what the power of his might means. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and in his almighty power. That's the power of his might. God's power is an almighty power. And Paul is telling us we can be strong in that almighty power. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. That's something to put on. Not some of it, the whole of it, all of it. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I am convinced we're going to go through some difficult times. I think they're here already. You know, the more that I see, the more I wonder what it's going to be like for my grandchildren, your little children. The things that people are forced to do now in their jobs, whether it's to wear a rainbow pin if you want to work with a company, put a rainbow flag on your classroom door, so many things. It's getting more and more impossible for Christians. We're only going to stand if we stand in God's almighty power. And if we have on the whole armor of God. We must have hearts set on walking according to the new man. And putting to death, rejecting the old man. May God help us to that end.